Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link. At the round table of dim lighting this week, we have Dave DeAndrea, the voice of Electronic Battleship, the board game.
Yes, and the reason that Dave and the voice
you
of-
You have sunk your battleship.
Electronic Battleship is significant to us is because on an episode of Good Mythical Morning back in August of last year, we played Electronic Battleship and we were so impressed and I would say moved by the voice that was leading us through the game.
It added a whole other dimension to a game that otherwise I wasn't motivated to play anymore.
Right, and we were so moved by this voice that we started talking about how we had to get in contact with this guy, figuring that if we said it on the show, somebody could get in touch with him.
Yeah, well, we just started talking directly to Dave, even though we didn't know his name was Dave.
Right.
And we didn't know that he didn't live in Ohio, even though for some reason we presumed
that. We thought that he did, he sounded like
it. And then it took many months.
It took months because there was no initial response.
Thanks to the Mythical Beast, talking to him over Twitter with a tweet that he sent our way, it's worked out and this is it. This is the culmination.
That's what this ear biscuit is going to be. a conversation with him.
It's the culmination of all, you know, all of that. Just, you never know what happens if you start playing Battleship.
Right.
And, well, this is what happens.
Yeah, you end up talking to the voice of it. So that's coming up in a second, but before that, we're coming off of a little trip we took to Amsterdam.
Yeah, so let's share some highlights.
Well, I would say, just first of all, I learned something because I was actually on a tour of a castle that you also went to, but you didn't take the tour.
Well, we went at different times. By the last day of our trip, which we brought our families with us, we each went off on a little wife excursion or an excursion with our wives.
That's what you call it?
No, that's something else. But Chrissy and I went on an excursion.
But we went to castles. Yeah.
And we went to the same castle at different times on the same day.
But while I was on the tour, the guy said, does anyone know he asked all the Americans, he says, do any of you know the difference between Holland and the Netherlands? And I was like, nope. I waited for another American to say something.
So you didn't audibly say nope.
No, I thought.
You just stayed quiet.
Nope. But it turns out that the difference is, well, you know the difference, you were just there.
The difference is that Holland is the name of two provinces. There's like Northern Holland and then like a Southern Holland or something. I can't remember what they are, but they're not all of the Netherlands, which is the whole shebang of many provinces, including the two Holland ones.
Yeah, so Holland is a region of the Netherlands and it's like the northwest area where Amsterdam is.
And Amsterdam is a city and canals are the water things that are cut all throughout a third of the Netherlands and all throughout Amsterdam.
I thought they call them canals.
No, they're canals, right?
Really? Well, that's something else. I should have paid attention on the tour. I was calling them canals the whole time.
And you know what? You can take a taxi on a canal. We took a bus taxi to VidCon Europe to do our thing, which was make a smoothie of Amsterdam foods.
Yeah.
And then almost vomit on stage.
It was the best Amsterdam smoothie I've ever had.
It was actually pretty nasty.
But the
when we met a lot of Mythical Beasts.
Yeah, shout out, special ear biscuits shout out to all the Mythical Beasts. Many of you showed up for the meet and greet and for the Q&A. There were lots of hugs.
Yeah, we had people line up asking us questions, which we answered. And then I saw that Shep was in the back of the line.
That's my son.
And so for the whole like 50 minutes of the hour, the Q&A, he was waiting in the back of the line patiently to get up to the microphone to ask us a question. You don't let the boy ask you questions normally?
No, I tell him no speaking to daddy.
No, you don't. But then by the end,
all
I'm like—
all questions go through your mother.
By the end—
all answers come from daddy.
He had given up hope. He wasn't in line anymore.
But he got bored.
Do you know what question he was gonna ask?
Yeah, he told me, he was like, dad, I was going to ask, why are you my dad? And I was like, well, you should have done that. That would have been awesome.
It would have been very funny.
But then I talked to Jesse,
It might have been awkward, and depending on your answer.
He got bored. He said he got bored.
I got bored.
He stood there. No, you didn't. He stood there for an hour. It was an hour long Q&A, he's an 8-year old. But anyway.
And it's just his dad talking on a stage.
Great meeting all you guys that came out. But we had an incredible time in Amsterdam.
What was the highlight? Was the highlight the castle? Because for me, the highlight was the windmill. The freaking windmills.
The highlight for me was the same day, but it was right after the windmill, and it was the cheese place.
And you realize that wasn't a cheese factory, it's just a cheese shop, and they made it look like a factory downstairs so that they could give
I don't care.
It was just a ploy to sell cheese. They don't actually make the cheese there.
I got to taste 27 different types of cheeses.
It was pretty good. I found myself liking cheese there a lot more than I ever have anywhere else.
I enjoyed that whole day though. The windmills were great.
Bus tour.
We went to the chocolate place and we got to make the hot chocolate. But see, here's the difference.
That was just a gift shop too, right?
But here's the difference between
they don't actually make chocolate. It's not a chocolate factory.
We had 11 people in our posse, right?
Yeah.
Our posse consisted of us, our wives, our kids, and some babysitters.
Yeah.
And
I know what you're gonna say, it's fine, you can say it.
We go into this chocolate shop. They called it the Chocolate Lab, which got me really excited.
Gift shop.
Yeah, but hold on. But in the middle of the thing, they had Dutch chocolate, and you were supposed to take a spoonful of the Dutch chocolate in powder, spoonful of sugar, and mix it with some milk, and they would give you hot milk, and I requested hot soy milk because I don't drink, mm-hmm. You know, I'm lactose intolerant somewhat.
Okay.
All 11 of us are in there, and 10 of us decide to get this. It's €2 a piece, and then you didn't get it. You're like, yeah, and then you like tasted a little bit of Christie's.
She didn't let me taste it, actually.
We're on vacation, man. Like, I just don't understand. You had the opportunity to experience this thing, and you're like, I'll pass.
I had the opportunity to make myself a cup of hot chocolate and then taste it.
And it was the best
been
hot
there,
chocolate.
Done that.
No, you haven't. You've had Swiss Miss. It's different.
It was just chocolate.
It was incredible. It was on another level. It
because
was better.
You made up your mind for it to be that, and I'm not going to take that away from you.
No, and it was better. It was the best hot chocolate I've ever had. It was special.
And I'm not going to take that
saying,
away from
whether
you.
Whether or not it was better in my mind because I was on vacation, I just don't know I just don't understand the, I'm not going to try that.
I wasn't thirsty.
I think that's your problem. You think hot chocolate is when you're thirsty.
No, man.
Yeah, hot chocolate's not because of thirst, man.
Chocolate, hot chocolate
it's
is
for
very,
feeling good.
It's rich and it weighs me down.
The cup was this big. It was like a swish cup from childhood, man.
I didn't want to pay $2 for something that I had to make.
But listen, I will say, I didn't say anything
to you. If I'm gonna pay €2 for euros for it.
I didn't say anything at the time. We're on vacation. I didn't want to get-
But you're silently judging me.
I silently judged you. And then we went to the cheese place and I was like, if he's gonna walk through here without eating any of this cheese, I'm gonna say something to him. But then I look over there and you're eating all the cheese and I was like, well, look at that, he's eating the cheese.
It's like watching a rat in a maze. Like, which way is he gonna go?
And again, I don't think I've talked about this because we've talked a lot about how multiple times on Good Mythical Morning, Good Mythical More, and maybe even Ear Biscuits, about this dynamic between someone who wants to try a lot of new things and someone who doesn't want to try a lot of new things, and how you shouldn't get annoyed at someone that doesn't want to try new things because how does it affect you? And I've always thought, that's a compelling reason, and I get it. But I've actually come up with a theory of why it is annoying and it's justified.
To defend yourself, okay.
And it is because you know when you meet somebody and you find out that you've got something in common with them? You've got a common experience. You've got a common worldview. You agree about something. Maybe it's political, whatever it might be. And when you find out that you agree about something, you feel this bond with them.
Sure.
I think that one of the reasons that you want to experience something with someone and you want them to try it and you want them to have an opinion and you kind of want them to have the same opinion. Like if you taste this pizza and you're like, this pizza place has the best pizza in the world, and you take somebody to eat that pizza and then they eat it and they're like, that's okay. Is it the fact that they made you look stupid and that's why you don't like that? Well, that's probably a little bit of it. But also if they say that this is the greatest pizza in the world, the shared experience, there's some sort of adaptive advantage that's built into our DNA that there's a sense of like, there's like an endorphin rush when you agree with somebody on something and you can experience something and have the same perspective on it. And I think that that's what I'm searching for. So when
you I had nine other people to have that with your hot chocolate.
No, but
so
it,
I'm sorry.
But it would have been that much better if everybody was enjoying it all at the same time.
It was so thick.
That's what made it so good. But what I'm saying is,
I just didn't have appetite.
But when
for
we
it.
Went into the cheese shop and you enjoyed the cheese, I got an endorphin rush from you eating cheese. You see how this works?
I just enjoyed the cheese.
But can you-
It wasn't like cornered, girl, can you figure out that cheese is so great.
If you love something a whole lot.
Yeah, I get that. There's like, I understand that dynamic.
And then I come in,
dynamic.
I'm like, nah, I'm not interested.
But I also didn't do that.
No, you didn't do that.
But I would understand if somebody like Debbie Downs the thing that you're loving, like this is the best pizza I've ever had. And you're like, well, yeah, I've had better pizza. It's like, well, I don't want to hear that. It's like, that's not.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not defending myself. I'm
my
just saying-
My stomach, I wouldn't have felt good.
It finally hit me why it's important to me. It finally clicked in my mind.
But
like, I know why I have a problem when somebody doesn't want to try something or enjoy something that I enjoyed.
I can't always be that for you.
Well, but whenever you can, I'd appreciate it.
I do understand that. I'm keenly aware of what you want from me.
I did like the windmill. I gotta say.
I cannot be the center of your happiness.
The windmill was a great experience. I know you enjoyed that too.
I know I've been that for years, but I'm gonna have to step out of the throne.
And the canals were great.
The canals were great.
We took a boat ride, just the two of us and one captain.
But for me, I felt like we had it with the windmills. I mean, we're walking around, there's a millstone that is twice the diameter of this round table. And then the guy, the Dutchman in his clogs is explaining how he literally takes linseed, puts it on the millstone, grinds it into linseed oil, which is then used to make
paint.
And
but hold on, but
and then he says that the millstone, when they originally put it in, as a replacement, by the way,
yeah,
it was twice.
Do you remember what
big.
Year it was put in?
No, what year?
Just guess. I'm just guessing.
It's 2017 now. On 1960.
It was 1865.
That millstone?
That millstone. First of all, the whole freaking
thing.
Well,
it was twice as big originally.
But the whole thing was built.
I didn't think it took that long for it to wear down.
In the 1600s. The thing we were in was built in the 1600s. And then 200 years into the life of this mill.
They replaced the millstone.
And it's always been,
Well, they didn't use it. They don't use it as much.
I know, but it's been like 170 years or whatever the math is on that.
But looking at it, and I was like, well, how did you get it there? And he was like, pulleys. Like I was asking a stupid question. How on earth did you get this millstone up here? I guess I insulted him. I mean, you're wearing wooden shoes. How did you get it up here?
And
pulleys.
You know, while we were inside the windmill.
There was nothing, by the way, to prevent you from sticking a head or a hand or a foot or a whole body under a millstone.
I love it over there.
In America,
there's got to be signs on everything. You got to tell people to watch their step if
cordons.
The step's a little bit weird.
Like everything,
you got to put ropes around.
Cordoned
things.
Off.
In Europe, like, that you if a kid falls crooked one way and gets their head under a millstone,
that's his problem.
That's the kid's problem.
Pop goes the skull. You know what?
Why do we got to protect everybody from everything over here?
I didn't even see
let
any
people live their freaking lives.
Bloodstains anywhere.
If a kid wants to jump under a millstone, let him do it. Learn his lesson.
Did you see any bloodstains?
No, I didn't.
Me neither.
I think it just mixes right in with the paint.
Right when I walked in, I was like, the whole windmill was turning. The millstone was turning. I was like, man, if I tripped and fell, I'd pop my skull under this thing.
And it would be your fault.
And then
that's the way life works.
And
people get weeded out of the gene pool.
There's a wooden staircase that's like super narrow and like rickety. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I can't go up there. And then I'm looking for the sign. I'm like, there's no sign. There's no cordon. I can go up there.
Cordon.
And then how you cordon something off?
Yeah. I just usually don't use it in that way.
James Corden.
Yeah, that's
he's
what
got a show.
He's got a barrier around him at all times.
And then after the guy runs us through the linseed thing, he's like, go around and look at the mill. That's not in any way what he sounded
a little
like.
Irish.
Go and look at the mill, sonny. Go up the stairs. So I went up the stairs.
Yeah, you did.
And
my kids went up there.
And you know what? There was one place that there was a cordon and it had a skull on it. And it kept you from walking under where the actual windmill blades came down, because that they protected you from that, because everyone
well,
would
see
it.
Well, they're not idiots. You know, they
that'd be bad for PR. Right.
But while you were up there, I was downstairs listening to Edgar, our tour guide. There was a piano and he was singing, "Isn't she lovely?"
Better than that. Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, he was singing that in the-
I heard him. It was echoing through the mill, and it's a memory I will never forget.
That was a good moment. That was one of my highlights when he started singing Stevie Wonder in a Dutch windmill.
And you know what? I enjoyed it too at the same time. And that gave
you-
you a thrill.
Yeah.
A windmill thrill.
We'll have to go back sometime.
There's no thrill greater than a windmill thrill.
Just the two of us. No wife excursions or anything.
Oh, no.
Well, we should probably bring them too.
I'm always up for a wife excursion.
Yeah. Now let's show some love to our sponsor.
I am a man who shaves my face, all of it.
I'm a man who shaves a portion of my face, like right above my beard and below my beard on my neck.
Oh, okay. And you know what? The smarter choice for that is Dollar Shave Club. You get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. It's a life hack, basically. You no longer have to schlep to the store to buy a cheap disposable razor that'll give you a cheap shave, or spend a fortune on razors with gimmicky shaving tech that you don't actually need.
Yeah, I don't like to go to that section in the store where they keep the razors, because it's like a barricade there. You gotta get help from somebody. I don't like to talk to the people at the store.
No, it's like a labyrinth.
I feel like a criminal when I go to that section. I don't wanna get anywhere near it.
You should not feel that way. That's why this is the smarter choice. And for a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month.
In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of 4 cartridges, and a tube of that shave butter. And then after your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at their regular price.
There are no hidden fees and no commitments. You can cancel at any time you like. So join the club today at dollarshaveclub.com/biscuits. That's dollarshaveclub.com/biscuits. Now let's get on with this biscuit with Dave DeAndrea. Oh man, that voice was great. The conversation was great. It had some big laughs.
Oh yeah.
And some windmill thrills. No windmills involved though.
Didn't even need them.
Nope.
My son ate guacamole off of you.
He's a hungry boy. He's a growing boy. You gotta eat that guacamole.
Off your feet.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't see who was eating off of where.
You thought the feet cheese tasted pretty good.
Yeah, I'm bringing them upright.
Was there cheese on the feet?
Oh yeah.
There was cheese everywhere, man.
Mm. Here, love up on that microphone. This is how we do it.
All right.
Like, see.
Let's tell a voiceover guy how to use a microphone.
Nah.
Cause I couldn't even hear you.
Okay.
All right, I can hear you.
Is that better?
That's good.
Hey. This is the wonderful thing about the internet, is that we can have a conversation on Good Mythical Morning about how we gotta get in touch with this battleship voice guy. And then months later, I mean, months, right? Because that was like August.
It was August, yep.
It starts to happen.
We're all here, we're all hanging out.
And because
we're having our night on the town that we talked about.
Welcome, Dave, this is it, man.
Thank you, I'm so honored, but this truly.
We're honored too, because see, I mean, I think I haven't watched it back. You've watched it back. Just kind of refresh yourself since it's been like 6 months.
Refresh yourself. You got to refresh yourself before you refresh yourself.
But
did you refresh yourself?
I did not refresh myself.
I refreshed myself for both of us.
But we had.
You guys should do voiceover.
Really?
Hey.
Voiceover.
What kind of character would this be?
Dog food commercials.
I'm a dog.
I need to refresh myself with some dog food.
If they bring back like the Popeye cartoons, those could be like some side guys, you know, the old crusty.
Popeye's my buddy. I'm a sailor.
Spinach
is really refreshing.
I don't get that spinach guy. I don't understand. He's got a lot of muscle in his forearm. It's weird.
Is it
a tumor? Does he have tumors in his forearm?
Yeah, infection from the tattoo, I think, is what happens.
He skips bicep day.
Yeah.
But we had, You tell me, because you just refreshed yourself and watched it back.
Let me just say this. Ironically, I'm having a voice issue today. I don't know if it's like intimidation that you were going to be here or the cold that I'm coming down with, but my voice is crackly. I've got tea. I've got water to back up the tea.
Got the crackly voice.
But I might just be a little intimidated.
You say you're getting a cold?
Yeah.
I'm just going to spit over here.
Yeah, that's like the worst case scenario for a VO guy.
You don't, you try
cancer.
Not to get.
What do you do?
I think that's
that would
worse.
Be worst case scenario.
How do you fight off colds?
You try to stay healthy. My kids are homeschooled, so they're not bringing anything home with them most of the time.
Oh, right. They just keep it right there
that's
at
right.
home.
You keep them in there.
But you try to stay healthy and
stay hydrated.
You
that's
look
Link's
healthy.
Philosophy. Mm-hmm.
Look at how healthy he looks.
Yeah, healthy guy. I mean, this is dim lighting.
What's that mean?
Everybody looks pretty good in this lighting, but I mean,
I was thankful for the dim lighting.
Your pallor, you got a good pallor for a voiceover guy.
But you don't have to look good as a VO guy.
You see the
guy.
Sun.
That's the whole thing.
You look good for a VO guy.
I'm in my little padded room all day.
Got a great face for radio.
You know that joke that everybody's dad makes?
Yes.
But what I've been trying to say is
I make that joke all the time, actually.
Well, you're somebody's dad.
It's a great joke for you to make.
Yeah.
But we can't make it.
No.
Just kind of did.
We'll let
though.
You have it. We've had faith in, well, this is what I've been trying to say.
Yeah.
We had faith in the internet mm-hmm. that the internet would bring us together. I mean,
right.
we didn't, like, okay, we had the battleship and
right.
we were playing it.
Well, and I would just say that we didn't read.
When we started talking about the battleship guy, we were just like, all right, we want to meet you. We started talking to you
right.
through Good Mythical More, but we didn't look on the box or Google anything. I think Eddie may have Googled stuff, but I'm like, I don't care about that.
Nothing came up.
Nothing came up with your name or anything. It was like, but we have faith. Mm-hmm. It may take weeks, it may take months, it may take years, it may take a lifetime, but we will meet. And this is it. Our faith in the internet holds strong because of this moment. This is a tent peg. This is going in the ground, so when I start slipping and my faith in the internet just is wavering and I'm sliding, I'm going to grab this tent peg. And I'm going to say, you know what? I remember when I would put this one in the ground, this is when we knew we were going to meet Dave, and then we did.
But you're also assuming that Dave is the guy that does the game. I mean, he said he's the guy that does the game.
Actually, lots of guys in your comments said they were the guy that did the game.
Right.
Not the guy that did the game.
But there's only...
That's
I mean,
true.
But there's only one way to prove that you're the guy that did the game. You're the guy that's here, and we've got the game.
Right.
The battle has begun.
The battle. Oh, sorry.
How many things are you saying?
Shut up.
Press 2 for a two-player game.
See, they had me do like just
that
a line at a time.
Does sound like him, though. I mean, I already know it's him, man. The tone is the same.
So the battle has just begun.
The battle has begun.
That's him. He's in the game.
And then what else did you say? Press.
I don't know. I did this like 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
It was. This was so funny because I did it and I didn't even know exactly what I was doing the voiceover for. I thought maybe it was like a little handheld thing or an app. I didn't know.
Well, when you say you've sunk my battleship, that can only be one
well,
thing.
I knew it was Battleship, but I think this was right around the time the film came out. Mm. And then a couple years later.
Rihanna was in that.
I don't even know if I saw
did
it.
Did you meet Rihanna?
I didn't see it.
Well, gosh. Well, this interview's over. No. that was really what that's all was leading to. We thought you had Rihanna's number.
We were hoping you'd bring her.
No, sorry.
we left the space and everything. He didn't bring Rihanna. Abort.
What a disappointment.
You just sunk
our battleship. You sunk our battleship of hope.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint.
Can you say Rihanna sunk your battleship?
In the void?
Yeah.
Rihanna sunk your battleship.
Okay, then that just made
so
up for it. We can continue.
You're definitely the guy. Yeah. We don't even have to play the game.
How long ago?
It was about 5 years ago. And then a couple years ago, a friend of mine said, hey, are you the voice? We just bought this battleship game. Are you the voice on there? I'm like, no, I didn't do any battleship game. I totally forgot about it. And he was insisting, no, I'm pretty sure it's you. I said, well, play me some of the audio. And so we did them. Oh, yeah, I totally did that. That's me.
You had forgotten.
I did forget. And then a month ago or whatever it was, somebody sent a message to my wife. And we're home binge watching Little House on the Prairie or whatever we were doing.
Is that a joke?
No. We're on this binge right now, Little House on the Prairie.
Hey, that's cool. You know what?
Hey, there's a lot of
it's like
seasons.
Nine seasons.
Man.
We're on five,
you know what? We've homeschooled our kids as well. We only let them watch Little House on the Prairie. We understand.
Well, it's a great show.
My kids are watching Big House on the Prairie now. Yeah. Y'all don't know about that.
But so my wife yells out, "Red and Link want to meet you." And we've been, you know, we watch a show and got the mug and the whole schmear, you know.
Oh, and really? So, you had the mug?
Yeah. I think my son got it for Christmas a year or two ago. So, but I wasn't really familiar with the other channels, like the 20 other channels that you guys have, just the main one.
Yeah.
And so she had a link to the Playing Battleship one, and we're watching it, and they like the voice. And the more it went on, you guys are like kind of freaking out. We want to meet you. And we're just dying. It's like, are you kidding me? What go? And we're posting it and sharing it online.
Well, and then I will say, sorry to interrupt, but no. We assumed that you were from Ohio. I mean, right. That was one of the things that we said.
Yeah.
You said, I assume he's been walking around in America somewhere in the Midwest. And then somehow we landed on Ohio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if we should apologize for that because you're not from Ohio.
No, I don't know that I've ever been to Ohio. I'm sure it's a lovely place.
Mm. Totally missed.
Yeah. Well, you're nailing that Ohio accent.
What we meant by that is that you have a voice that doesn't have any discernible accent. Like you have like the American
neutral
voice.
Accent.
It speaks to everyone.
I hope so. Advertisers, are you hearing that?
But okay, so how did you find the specific link?
You're watching it.
So this friend messaged it and sent a link to my wife,
okay.
Facebook Messenger or whatever it was. And so we're watching it. And so after that, we like share it. Hey, Rhett and Link, enjoy it. And then we didn't realize until a little while later, we looked at when it was posted. And it's like, oh, this was from August of last year. This is so last year. They're done. Nothing's going to happen.
We've moved on. Rihanna never.
Yeah. But just in case, I'll send out a tweet. I did a little video. I'll send out a tweet. And I'll message them on Facebook, and I'll email their producers or whatever I need to do.
Uh-huh.
And then the Mythical Beasts on Twitter kind of took over. Oh, we found him in Red Link. You have to have him on.
They saw your tweet.
Yeah, and because it went to you, and apparently they see everything that goes to you.
Right.
And so they got excited about it, and then we were actually down here at Disneyland, and I kind of said, hey, we're in the area if you want to connect. And then I think finally – Rhett sent a tweet that said something along the lines of, glad somebody finally showed this to you. I was like, oh, that's awesome. He tweeted, but that's as far as it's going to go. That's the end of the story.
Yeah, well, and let me tell you what I was thinking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to meet Dave, but I don't want to make promises on, public promises
on social media.
Smart.
But then we immediately began we're like, okay, well, we got to get in touch with Dave. Because what we talked about on the show was bringing you in to have a night on the town.
Right.
Night on the town turned into an ear biscuit. But we wanted you to, I don't know, the different ideas we talked about were.
Are you going to take us out after this for a night on the town?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because what we talked about is we would go out to eat and then we would face away from each other.
You're refreshed. I don't remember this.
And Dave, because I got refreshed. Dave would do. Would VO what we were eating so we wouldn't have to look at each other. But that's how we would enjoy the meal. That was one of the ideas that we had.
Yeah, I would tell you what he's eating and him what you're eating.
Okay, well, let's do that. I mean, we should follow through that the internet will continue to have faith in us. It's a two-way street.
Well, and then Rhett said, I want him to come and talk to my children so maybe they'd respect me. Talk to them and say
maybe.
Things. And then you said something like, I want you to... come with me to parties and big me up, I think was the phrase that you used.
Big me up.
What does that even mean, man?
So here's what I've done.
Oh.
Since we're not going on a night on the town together, well, maybe after this, but this is not a prototype. It's not my own app, but I thought I could maybe develop something for you guys for these instances.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is real good.
So with your kids, if you run into a thing, you're worn out, it's a long day here at the studios, you don't really want to respond, you've got these apps here.
Kids, this is your dad. He will blow you up if you do not obey him.
That's specifically what we asked.
That's exactly what you said.
Because of the battleship.
Oh. Right. Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Delayed obedience is disobedience.
Yeah. Delayed obedience is disobedience.
That is really good.
I've been using that a lot lately, actually.
Obey right away, all the way, and with a glad heart.
That's right.
That's what we used to say in our house until we gave up.
Bodily noises are not considered a joyful noise at church.
Bodily noises.
If you want to be a little more encouraging,
I love you.
And even if you're just tired, just...
How about you get Dad a sandwich?
That kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You knew he liked sandwiches?
So now for the big up, all right?
You going to big me up?
Yeah. So you're at a party. You need a little help.
Hello, friends of Link. You may not know that he scored 2 goals in 1 soccer game with his left foot. His off foot.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way.
Yeah.
Hello, friends of Link. You may not know that Link can perform around the world and rocking the baby on a yo-yo.
Oh, that's
but
true.
Now you do.
Oops, hold on.
Hey, what was that?
Hello, friends of Link. Who would like the honor of getting Link a sandwich?
I do want a sandwich.
Sandwiches for everybody.
No, just us. You and I get sandwiches.
We're everybody.
I get sandwiches from off types of friends. You only get sandwiches from your kids.
Now, hold on, though. Because I know you guys are very busy traveling the world. You got 20 channels going here. Maybe romance at home is a little tough sometimes. You don't have the time to put in that you'd like.
You read my diary.
So sometimes maybe the touch of a button would be helpful, you know.
Oh, yeah. Looks like it's time for a good mythical evening. If you know what I mean, baby.
Oh, right. What? This makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah. Time to spin the wheel of mythicality, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I don't, but I don't want to ask.
And of course.
Oh, yeah. How about getting your man a sandwich?
Yeah, we still get sandwiches. Sandwiches in every scenario.
Yes, we do. Right.
Final one, because I know you. If you find yourself in a situation where, because you've got a lot of fans, some might get a little out of hand. In case you ever find yourself maybe kidnapped in a difficult situation,
yeah, it could happen.
You can just this is your panic button here. Okay.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are over 12 million subscribers. Subscribers I have acquired over a very long career. Mythical beasts that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let me go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not tweet to them, and they will not look for you. They will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will tweet them. They will look for you. They will find you. And they will kill you. Go make me a sandwich.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, man.
So you're set. If I could just get this app to you.
You turned a kidnap situation into me getting a sandwich.
That's right.
That is brilliant.
It's love. It's all love.
That is brilliant.
Now, you recognize who that was.
Yeah, that was Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
If it were only Rihanna.
I played and that I'm for my wife, and she thought, isn't that the guy from Princess Bride, the Inigo Montoya guy? I got to work on my Liam Neeson, apparently.
No, that's good. Okay. That's a good Liam Neeson.
Well, your spouse keeps you honest.
She does.
But that is a good Liam Neeson.
It's a perfect
Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
I can't
it's
even
not
say
a good Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Thanks oh, for man. Doing that, man.
Oh, sure.
I thought we were going to have a night out on the town, but this is better than anything we could have ever expected.
Oh, I'm
loving it. We can take Dave with us in our pockets.
Dave.
Yes.
I am just astounded. Now, I mean, the faith that I had in the internet, I'm transferring all of it to you.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Now, how do you discover that you can do this kind of thing?
Mid-teens, I discovered that I was not a very good breakdancer. And so I
but
got
you
more,
were breakdancing?
I tried. I had like one good move for about a week and then I lost it.
But
So I got more into the DJing thing, the scratching and mixing back in the 80s.
Oh, you were scratching and mixing?
Scratching and mixing.
Nice.
That translated into radio in the mid-teens, which was not something I thought I would do. It's just, okay, let's do this. And
see, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a DJ and I tried to scratch.
Mm-hmm.
But I just messed up a lot of my mom's records
Yeah.
because I didn't have the proper equipment. I had no clue what was going on. But you had two turntables and you actually figured it out?
Yep, working in under 21 dance clubs at the time. And just learning things as I went. Back then, had the VCR ready in case anything came on that I wanted to see, ready to tape something and, check it out and see how they do it. But so from that into radio, and then really just maybe 10 years ago, I was introduced to the broader world of voiceover. A friend came into the studio and there were a few these casting sites, kind of like acting, I guess, where you somebody posts a job or something they want, and you can audition for it, and either they like it or they don't, and you can get hired for it. And I slowly started doing more of that and got out of radio and stopped doing
it. So you were using the radio equipment after hours to get your side job.
I had permission to use the radio equipment from the radio station, and I was also producing a show at home for my church. They'd have like a daily show that they have on, and I'd kind of do the intro and outro of that. And so I was producing that. So I had some equipment at home, and they were cool with me using it at home. And so I had like a couple of soundboards propped up with like sneakers in the corner. And from that moved to the bedroom closet and finally had a studio built out in the garage.
Because being a DJ, you kind of get, once you have these on and you hear your voice,
you start to change it a little.
Yeah. So it starts to morph over time because you're getting that immediate feedback.
Right.
Which I can see how that goes directly into voiceover. But then voiceover is a different level because you're not just using that DJ voice that you've got.
Right.
Then you're starting to tweak it for different things, and you ultimately are getting a lot of sandwiches as Liam Neeson.
Right.
But well, I can see how that happens over years, I guess.
It does. I was really nervous to even venture out into it. It was a kind of a step of faith. Because there was some investment involved a little bit early on, and my wife and I were just like, I don't know, what do you think? Should I try it? And so we made the small investment and just thought, I'm probably never going to get this money back. Because in small town radio, which I was in, to do a commercial, if you got paid to do it at all, it was right. It was minimal, $30, or whatever it was. And so to try and see, getting any money back for this, I got hired pretty quickly for a job. And when they told me how much they'd pay, I was trying to play it cool, like, oh yeah, that'll be fine. But it was like, this is gonna work, honey, this is okay. So I just went to,
was that like a national ad or
no, that
like,
was I'm trying to even remember where it was for. It wasn't national, maybe like a regional or maybe somewhere else, but I thought, okay, this could probably happen. And we kind of took it step by step. It just kind of grew from there to where I was finally able to maybe go like halftime at the radio station, and finally it's like, okay, let's just keep going. And it's been great. I think I had a false sense of security that I was afraid to step out because the radio job felt like a job. It's like a regular job.
Stable, clock in, clock out.
But then I realized, there's really no such thing as a stable, secure job.
Right.
You can do anything and it could end that day. So might as well do this and not have to get up at 4 a.m. to do a morning show.
Well, ask Rihanna.
I mean, I've heard from multiple people that VO is like, it is the best job in Hollywood.
It's great.
Because...
Well, you don't even have to be in Hollywood if you don't want to be.
Right. You can, because you're up in the Northwest in Oregon.
Right.
And you work out of your house.
That's a pro move right there. I mean,
he turns away from the mic
to
breathe.
I see Tazande did that, but.
Well, Tazande started it.
He started that.
But I was doing that before. I don't have a cough switch here, so. cough button.
So
we got to get a cough button.
Is it as great as everybody, as Dave Coulier says it is?
Dave Coulier has the benefit of comparison because I haven't done anything else in Hollywood or TV.
Right.
This is close as it gets here, I guess, for me.
You were not in any episode of Full House.
No, not to my knowledge. And so, but it's a wonderful community of people. There are some things that you still kind of have to live down here for, like. A lot of animation and stuff, they kind of want you here doing that.
Because they want you to come in with like a director or whatever in person.
But there's a lot of stuff where I can live there, and because of the miracle that is the internet, I can do stuff from my garage and it goes all over the world. And
Do you think we've got it? We got what it takes? Because
well, you got the equipment for sure.
Yeah. My voice is, I don't think I've got it. You can be honest.
Hold on, but
it's
not about the depth of the voice, is it?
No, in fact, you were talking about
like
having
a piercing thing. It's like there's sometimes something it's caught.
But like a monster truck commercial when there's a lot of like a guitar playing, you want somebody who can pierce through it, or like a car commercial.
Hey, the monster trucks are coming to town.
Yeah,
get your ticket now for Dorton Arena.
Yeah, Dorton Arena.
the misconception is, because you
that
guys
hurt,
started
by
off,
the way.
You got to be careful.
I didn't do that right.
That, you know, being a DJ previously is an advantage, but it's actually kind of a disadvantage because nowadays they don't really want you to sound. Most of the auditions I receive, no announcer types. Don't want anybody who sounds like an announcer. They want somebody who sounds like they're just
From Ohio.
Yes, just a neutral, normal guy. Just, a lot of times they'll describe it just like you're sitting next to a guy at a restaurant, just talking to your best friend. That's what they want a lot. Of course, then they always choose the announcer anyway. But
oh,
but that's what they want, more of a natural thing. So if you were just being yourself, I think there's another misconception that you always have to have some kind of big, you know, monster voice when you don't. I think they want normal sounding.
Well, how
people
often,
in a variety of different things.
How often are you, because just your normal talking voice is like, I kind of feel like I'm listening to like a commercial for like coffee or something. It's like, it's warm
caramel.
And it's like, you know.
Like the cream on top of the coffee.
Yeah.
Can like the froth.
How would you talk about the cream that you put in your coffee?
I don't drink coffee, so that's a downside, but.
Well, that's your task
I'd
as
have
a performer.
To act. That's the acting part.
Yeah, right.
What about froth? If you don't like coffee, you can suck off some froth,
suck
can't
off
you?
Suck some froth.
Just slosh that froth in your mouth, man.
I'm really trying to be careful with
okay.
What I say.
But how often,
I don't know what that means.
No.
What percentage of your jobs are just basically your voice, maybe a little bit altered? Because the battleship voice is like, okay, that's a character.
Right. A lot of times they just want this. I put together like a demo where they can hear something like this, but then there's something, excuse me, more of a, I think I've got like a jewelry spot on there where it is a lot more, you know, it's supposed to be sweet and, you know, this is the one that you want to present to your loved one. And you kind of just tone down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But then there are some like the battleship guy where it's a little more gritty and sometimes they want more of a,
movie trailer-ish
kind of
thing.
Yeah, or Sam Elliott sometimes. Or I mean, there's a variety. And so I've come to, when I first started, I auditioned for everything, you know, and didn't land all of it, but you kind of narrow down to what your wheelhouse is. And I was trying out for a tween sounding, some kind of kung fu animation or something. I was trying out for this tween, and they were like, yeah, can you sound a little younger? Can you? And my voice had evolved a bit, and so I sent it to a friend who I respect, a coach, and another voiceover guy, and he said, "Yeah, it definitely sounds like a kid with a mortgage." He said, "I can't do those voices anymore."
That is
so,
a successful gig.
Yeah,
Richie Rich, man. You could be Richie Rich.
What's the weirdest voiceover you've ever done?
You guys have heard of Axe Cop, yes?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Ethan Nicole, who's the artist, and his brother, Malachi, who was 5 at the time when they came up with this.
Yeah.
When that started taking off viral as a comic for him, he wanted to do motion comics and stuff like that. And so,
because just to explain what he did was he would interview his...
You guys, his kid brother to write it, basically.
Yeah.
He'd interview him, like, and he would, his 5-year-old brother would tell the story.
Right.
It was like Written by a Kid before Written by a Kid was a thing, and then... Jimmy Fallon does like a written by a kid scripts like by kids, but this was like one of the first ones that was
popular. And they would mostly just kind of play, actually. I mean, it was his younger brother just one day said, "Let's go play Axe Cop," and he's like, "Okay, what's that?" And they just took off with it, and he's a phenomenal artist, and so he just started drawing it, and it took off because it was just the kid's mind was just limitless, you know, and what they could do.
I remember this Axe Cop season 1, episode 1.
Yeah,
let me pull this up here.
And so I was doing the motion comics for it online. I think it was a Rugburn channel on YouTube.
Yeah, this is 4 years ago.
Yeah.
One day at the scene of a fire, the perfect fireman axe.
Yours is actually axe.
That was the day he became
Axe. That's another great voice guy named Bob Sauer.
Episode 1. I need a partner now. So Axe Cop had tryouts and hired a partner.
My name is Flute Cop.
Did you just do the voice for Flute Cop too?
No, that was a guy named Lee Gordon who did that. He was the original
Flute
Cop.
But you're the Axe Cop.
So I said, yeah, I'll do it, but I want to be Axe Cop. If you can do this. And he let me round up some of the other voice guys in there. And then that took off for him really well. Nick Offerman got a hold of it, and they did some stuff on ADHD, I think is what it was, on Fox.
Yeah, on Fox.
A couple of seasons. And
so Nick did it for the Fox thing.
Yeah, and he did great. I was a little bitter at the time. Yeah. I know that stuff kind of happens, and it's like, right. He's Nick Offerman. I mean, if anybody would probably actually be Axe Cop, it'd probably be Nick Offerman.
Attach right. some celebrity to it.
I mean, you set the template. That yeah. Nick Offerman sat around and listened to you as an Axe Cop.
I don't think he did. I think he had his own groove there, because he sounds like yeah. Nick Offerman. But they did some great things with it. We were just watching him. In fact, Axe Cop related, I did bring you guys something.
Oh,
because I heard that you were fans.
As if you haven't already given us enough by A, being here, and B, all of those voice tracks.
This is
on
a
your
gift.
Phone.
This, no, being here is a gift for me, you guys. This is great. So I heard you guys had been or are Axe Cop fans.
Yes.
And yeah, so, it's super cool. It's so funny. I mean, how you can see the 5-year-oldness come through in the concepts. And
right.
I need a partner. You know, it's like, it's just very.
But I had Ethan draw up a little something for you guys.
What?
Oh, no. What?
We're riding on the back of
what?
A T-Rex.
That's Wexter. Yeah, there's the
yeah.
T-Rex.
Yeah, whose front arms are Gatling guns or whatever he calls them.
I hope
them.
I'm
yeah.
holding that in the right place. Am I holding it in front of Battleship?
Maggie, is that good? You getting a good shot of that? Isn't that amazing?
Yes, he was more than happy to do that.
She's upset because she's not in it, but she's trying to hide it. You're about to fall off the back there, right?
Yeah, and I'm winking.
You're not winking. I think he lost an eye.
You were doing that refreshed voice, and that's what he got.
We went on this is our night on the town with Axe Cop.
Yes, baby.
We did right there.
That is some good stuff, man.
There's two. You can each have one. If you.
Oh, there's two?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same one, yeah, but.
He drew it twice, exactly the same.
Well, no, I printed it out.
I'm going to have to talk.
You kept the original.
He did it digitally, and then he sent
it. That's
them
how it works, digitally.
Yeah, we got to talk our wives into putting this up in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And give me a sandwich.
Put it right above the headboard. I don't know if that's going to work or not.
That
but
is
I'll,
cool, man.
I'll put yeah. it in my, you know, I'll put it in my desk.
Hey.
Look at
thanks
that.
Thanks for that, and thanks
oh,
to
sure.
Ethan.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Have you ever awesome. Done any ads for, like, mashed potatoes? One of the first things we did was we talked to a woman who was the voice of mashed potatoes. For what was that? Our
that was a channel, Allison Fishman?
Yeah.
It was Swedish meatballs, man. But she, I think she also
and mashed potatoes.
She mashed potatoes. It was a food channel on YouTube.
And we were just talking about it.
The way she talked about food made me so hungry.
So we met her in person in New York.
Nice.
It wasn't nearly as thrilling as this has been so far.
I'm buying your affection, so maybe that helps. She didn't give you meatballs or anything.
Have you done any Swedish meatballs?
I have not done Swedish meatballs, but
mashed
I am.
Mashed potatoes?
I am the voice for Simply Potatoes, a product right now, which you probably heard on the Food Network, perhaps, or other places.
No,
yeah,
but
it is a kind of a potato-y yeah. voice.
In fact, on my site, DaveDeAndrea.com, I think the video's right on there, but they wanted me to channel a bit of a Donald Sutherland, just how he talks really, you know, kind of quietly about orange juice or whatever he was talking, some simply something that he was doing.
How did you know? How did you?
Maybe heard, I must have.
Did
maybe.
You sense read potatoes?
About potatoes?
You looked at me and thought, potatoes.
No, but I'm serious.
Axe Cop and potatoes.
It's yeah. warm and it's warm and it's starchy.
Here we go. Yeah, you got
buttery.
You got to put
buttery,
that on my business card. Yeah. Warm and starchy.
And frothy.
And frothy. Yeah.
You got a frothy voice.
All right, listen.
Some call it a spud or a tater. At Simply Potatoes, we call it our calling to bring you fresh, never frozen potatoes grown close to us where they're simply peeled and prepped for real potato goodness that goes from farm to fridge to that oh so delicious moment on your fork. Simply made, simply satisfying, Simply Potatoes.
Man. Yeah, but what are they?
You see the packaging there? I think they have a variety of products in your freezer section that you can
use. It's potatoes?
It's not fake. It is potatoes. Yeah, it's Simply Potatoes.
What else is it, though?
It's just Simply Potatoes.
Is there
what else? The whole point.
But what else is in there?
I didn't look at the ingredients, but I think it's just Simply Potatoes.
The thing is I feel like you could talk. You could get
you looked at the script.
You could get yeah. me to eat poison. But if you talked about it in that way.
Try.
You know, you could do a commercial for arsenic.
Get us
and
to,
I'd be like, warm and starchy.
Come on, give us a little arsenic.
It's very sweet going down. But it's got a bit of an aftertaste. Then you die.
yeah, see, but I don't care.
But you got to hit the product to the website.
I've already eaten it before I died.
You know? How do I order it?
How do you order it?
Yeah, like arsenic.com. Arsenic.net.
Look up arsenic.com.
The last thing you'll ever eat.
You got the writing side of this thing, too.
I write some spots, too.
The last thing you'll ever eat.
The last thing you'll ever eat. Arsenic.
Yeah. So, arsenic folks, you can call me or look at my website.
But look at arsenic.com. See if that's a thing.
What am I searching for?
Arsenic.com.
Why am I searching for it? I'm just going to go to it. I'm going to type it up here and go to it. Arsenic and Old Lace.
What is that?
Resources, old movie. Curios, supplies, and fine gifts.
Hold on, we can get a personal.
Whoa, we're in an occult shop.
Okay, yeah.
We got to get out of here. Back out quickly. Back away.
Incorrect.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go back to Dave's website.
Yeah, Dave's website.
Oh, it's a safe, goodness. Family-friendly place.
Okay, you do a Morgan Freeman, I see.
I do get hired every once in a while to do a Morgan Freeman.
Oh, you know, we could have used you recently.
Man.
We had an idea. Okay. So,
for future reference,
you may have seen. We did.
May have seen the Tonight Show.
We were on the Tonight Show.
My daughter said. In fact, I think they're going to be on the Tonight Show just before they're with you. But then it was a rerun last night or something. So, I guess you guys weren't on.
It was almost a month ago now, right?
Yeah, it was weeks ago.
Yeah,
but we did many.
So we did Will It S'more with Jimmy.
Okay, right.
And one of the ideas that we were talking about that we didn't end up doing. And I think I know why we didn't do it, because Morgan Freeman ended up being on the show the next night.
Mm-hmm.
But we had an idea to do one of the s'mores was just going to be a regular s'more.
Mm-hmm.
But it was going to be voiced over by Morgan Freeman as we ate it, and we were going to call it S'morgan Freeman.
That's a great idea.
That would have been pretty great, right?
Oh, yeah.
They liked the idea, but then they ultimately said they couldn't do it. And we even pitched it like, well, you don't have to get Morgan Freeman. We just get a voiceover guy to do it. We hadn't talked yet. We didn't know.
Connected with you 6 months ago like I was supposed to.
Right. You'd have been
on the Tonight Show.
You'd have been in our luggage.
But can we make that moment happen now?
Sure.
I mean, we don't have any s'mores, but you know what's in a s'more.
Yeah.
You can kind of see why we're so obsessed with voiceover, because
always need it.
We just feel like it would enrich every moment of our lives.
Yeah.
And you've done nothing but prove that. But yet we keep pushing.
No, it's...
We've just eaten arsenic. Man. And now we're eating s'mores.
Oddly enough, the arsenic would be similar to the s'more voice. But so better ingredients.
So this is not an ad. This is like... Right. Like Happy Feet narration.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just, right. Just like a play-by-play.
He didn't do Happy Feet. It was March of the Penguins.
Same movie.
Yeah.
Penguins.
He played one of the penguins.
Let's eat our s'mores and let Morgan talk, man.
Okay, I'm wrong.
He's there in
I'm
his
wrong,
mind
Dave.
Already. No, I'm sorry. What kind of s'more do you have?
I got a big one.
Well, look at that.
You can't laugh, man. You can't laugh. We gotta just let this happen, man. Try to control yourself.
Okay. Well, he laughed.
I think I laughed because you laughed.
That's true. I'm not gonna eat mine yet.
Crisp graham cracker. Lightly toasted marshmallow. And a big old hunk of chocolate.
This would have been perfect.
Oh, I know. Why did they? Oh, they should have done it.
We don't need the Tonight Show. This is Ear Biscuits.
SmorganFreeman.com. Last thing you'll ever eat.
What's in that s'more? What's Morgan putting in the s'more?
Just a touch of arsenic.
Dave.
Let me eat mine. You can say the exact same thing. I'm sure it'll be thrilling.
It looks like Lynx got a little too close to the fire. But some people like it that way. He looks a little distraught. Now he's happy. But that was no marshmallow. That was penguin.
Oh, man.
Man, you just can go right into that.
That's good. One that I have gotten more comfortable with. It was one where I was auditioning for it and never getting. In fact, this buddy of mine, Paul Hernandez, and I, we'd go back and forth trying to do that and audition for it and never get it. And And then
never getting Morgan Freeman sounded like specifically.
Right, correct. And then it just, I grew a little more confident. In fact, I was at a voiceover workshop one weekend, and the guy who was coaching it was away, Pat Fraley. And so we were kind of just goofing around, reading scripts. But then some of the other voice guys started kind of throwing out their accents and things that they do, just kind of like a, what do you got, you know, kind of thing. And, and I was like panicking, like, I want to do this, but I've never really done it in front of anybody before. And I thought, oh, I could just go do an old New York thing or something, you know, just something stupid, and I'll try it. But while I'm reading, I'm hearing them go, he's doing Morgan Freeman. That sounds just like Morgan Freeman. It's like my confidence boosted up a little bit. So then I worked with a dialect coach for a while on that one too, just because there's some subtleties in there, because he's got a very unique voice, obviously.
Yeah.
And so it's getting honed and a little better. And it's just a fun one to do, and it doesn't hurt me at all. Some of the, you know, like Battleship, I do that for an hour and I'm through, for the day. But
right.
Well, for Morgan Freeman, from a legal standpoint, I mean, you're saying that there's people putting out auditions for, I want it to be like Morgan Freeman. But if you nail Morgan Freeman's voice, isn't there some sort of legal ramifications to that?
I'm sure there is. Oftentimes they'll say we want it to sound kind of like Morgan Freeman, but not exactly like Morgan Freeman.
Right.
I did something for Select Quote Senior, I think it was, and it kind of had a Morgan Freeman vibe to it. But sometimes they do, but it's not really like a national broadcast thing. It may be for somebody's website or tutorial or something like that. So,
but if it got big, you might be in trouble.
You wouldn't be in trouble. I might. I don't know. I should probably look into that.
No, let's
I think you're in the clear.
But when they called, I'd just say, it's all right.
You give your Morgan gives his permission.
That's right. Yeah, I got him right here.
You know, talk to him. He's right here. He's cool. He's totally cool. Yeah,
you're on FaceTime, idiot. What are you talking about? We can see you.
Can't get in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. But then you're talking about preserving your voice through the more painful. You could do some damage with certain voices, like when I was trying to do that. Monster truck guy.
Well, actually, so on a recent GMM, when I was doing Hellburger.
Yeah, when it was the
burger that was.
The digital vloggers taking the place of.
There was a lot of people were like, I could watch Hellburger all day. And then there was somebody who like came in and said, actually, I'm studying voice or something like that. And Rhett's voice is very unsustainable, therefore it's not a good voice. He could never do that professionally or something like that. Like somebody came in and said that.
Because what does that mean?
They're like,
to
I was
you?
Damaging my voice as I was doing.
Unsustainable.
I think that there are, and this is not something that I've studied and certainly no expert at, but I know that there are techniques and things where you can do it to where you can, even for singers, you know, some of the screamo singers, how they can just keep doing that night after night. There's some technique and training that goes into being able to do that. I really don't have that. If I know I'm going to be screaming, like if it's a for a video game, and all I'm doing is screaming and dying, pretty much. I'll schedule that for, you know, as late on like a Friday afternoon for the session as I can to give myself the weekend to recover, so I'm back to normal by Monday and doing potatoes or whatever I'm doing. So
back to the taters.
So I'm sure if you Google it, there are techniques and ways that you can do a lot of screaming and yelling, but preserve it and do it in a way that it will not wear out your.
You
voice.
Do it intuitively
because if you're gonna do a. Because because in the context of what people were saying, it was like, oh, I would love to see a Hellburger show or whatever. It's like, well, he couldn't do that because it's a voice that if you're going to do a character voice, you got to be able to do it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Battleship at your house?
I do. After that friend called and said, I think this is you on this game. And I was like, right, yeah. Then we immediately went out and got it and had a kick out of playing it.
Do you like it better than just the regular old?
We don't even have the old Battleship anymore. So it's fun. The kids get used to hearing me doing stuff. You know, after a while, they, you know, oh great, Dad, Simply Potatoes, wonderful. You know, and they've heard it because I was in radio and stuff. So they've been used to hearing me. But the coolest thing that ever happened was the night that we found out you guys, the fact that you guys were geeking out about my voice. My achievement unlocked, you know, as a dad. I suddenly became very cool as a dad, way more than doing some national commercial. They just thought, Rhett and Link like dad. Dad must be cool, you know.
Well, dude, get as much mileage out of it as you can because Battleship itself gets old pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when they put Rihanna in it.
Yeah. Even with Rihanna and your amazing voice, it's like, all right, I kind of get it.
Hmm.
You know, you sunk my destroyer and my what's that other carrier? Aircraft carrier?
Yeah, all the carriers.
Well, it's kind of, and they got, I don't know who the other guy is on there. There's a couple other voice guys on there too.
Losers. But,
I thought they were, the one guy almost kind of he had like a Muppet kind of thing going on. It was really awesome. I don't know who they were, but
that's a compliment.
It was cool. I really like the player when they do stuff.
I'm disappointed to hear that you don't have like a Battleship guy voice reunion every year.
Well, we pictured you all in the same room when that, you know, just playing the game.
No, I was in my studio in my garage in Oregon. I don't know who those
sailor suits, yeah. Three of you, like
right.
The Navy.
We can make that happen.
In the Navy.
If you were one of the other voice guys on Battleship.
Oh.
Yeah. Next time on Ear Biscuits.
You work in that internet faith. I like that.
Right. Well, dude, thanks for selling arsenic to us. If you had it on
pleasure.
You, we would all be dead, or yeah. At least the two of us would be. We're going to enjoy some Simply Potatoes later. And my wife is going to be hearing your voice tonight.
Whoa. That's weird.
Yeah. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
And there it is, our voiceover conversation with a voiceover artist. Well, we didn't do a voiceover.
Well, I mean,
it was
technically this whole thing has been a voiceover.
There it was.
Well, no, because I mean, technically a voiceover is when you voice over something. We're just kind of voicing the thing that's happening.
And we weren't anything.
Yeah, we're over the thing that's happening. So
I'm not over it. I don't think I'll ever be over it.
Yeah, that was
it was life changing.
It was moving.
It
just reminded me how good of an idea it was to get him involved in our lives.
Yeah, it hit me when we were talking about the voice of Mashed Potatoes, and now we've met two voices of Mashed Potatoes.
Allison Fishman.
I think now it's gotta be our life mission to seek out all potato-related voiceover artists and make a personal connection with them.
Does that include anybody that does like a commercial for French fries for like fast food?
Yeah.
Because that's really wild.
No. It's
gotta be a commercial for potatoes.
Potatoes that in one form are mashed. Like, cause his had mashed in it.
Which was crazy. At first I thought it was just simply potatoes. But it turns out that you can mash them. You can get the mashed version.
You can simply mash potatoes.
But what simply. Are they?
They're just simply potatoes.
Exactly.
Right.
That you know.
I mean, it's like why not just buy potatoes?
What
I
a think slogan that is.
That's kind of the question.
But what are they? Simply potatoes.
Then why not just buy potatoes? I think is my follow up question because of the voiceover. That's the power of voiceover. The voiceover talked us into just buying sacks of potatoes instead of just buying bags of intact potatoes.
But do you want to know the real reason? I mean, the real reason is because it's easy.
Well, I told you the real reason.
Well, it's easier than potatoes because potatoes have to be peeled and boiled. These have been cooked probably already. I don't really know.
So they're not simply potatoes.
I didn't really pay that much attention to the advertisement.
I was just thinking about his frothy voice. Man, and
gotta
I, you know
bring
what?
The froth back.
Oh yeah, and it was a good experience.
Well,
wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Well, let us know. Hashtag Ear Biscuits.
Yeah, you can do that in the comments on this video if you're watching on the This Is Mythical YouTube channel, which is where you can enjoy the audio and video version, the voiceover and the video part that has been voiced over.
Mm-hmm. The video under and the voiceover.
But if you just want to enjoy the voiceover part, that can be made available to you, and it has been made available to you everywhere podcasts are available to you.
Including Spotify, iTunes. Leave a review on iTunes, SoundCloud it up. However you podcast, I trust you're listening to it that way right now.
Yes.
Or you can switch at any point. We'll make it available in all those ways.
We appreciate your ears and your eyes and your hearts.
And those biscuits you've been mailing us.
And your potatoes.